and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast with your host, Rob Crother!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back here on the Bob Culture Podcast, special WWE Stomping Grounds edition. Right now, you are listening to Worlds Apart, Sami Zayn's theme, of course, covered by my good friends and It Lives It Breeze. Check them out right now on Spotify and on iTunes. They have amazing WWE playlists. Check them out. Subscribe right now. Guys, as always, thanks for letting me use your tunage. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome my special guest at this time. I'm so honored for this one. Of course, you know him as the managing editor at WrestlingInc.com, commentator for Warrior Wrestling, and host of one of my new favorite podcasts of all time. Really, it's a great one. You guys got to check it out. The Winkley Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Mr. Nick Hausman. Nick, how are you, man? Thanks for a few minutes.
No problem, Bob. Thank you for the wonderful intro there. And I couldn't be happier to know that Sami Zayn's song was what brought us in here. I'm a big ska fan, so that's great.
Yeah. Oh, are you really? Nice, man. That's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, you've been killing it lately, man. I've been listening to a ton of your interviews, most recently the MJF one. Obviously, my favorite of all time, I always say on the show, Rey Mysterio, man. Real quick, a little shameless promo here. Tell us about the Winkley Podcast, and more so, what was it like interviewing the likes of Rey Mysterio and all those guys?
The Winkley Podcast, it's Tuesday through Thursday. We do an audio version. It's between 60 and 90 minutes long. You can go over Wrestling Inc. Audio, and it's Winkley, W-I-N-C, like Wrestling Inc., like Winkley.
So yeah.
Not with a K, the C. But yeah, you know, this. I've been doing a show this style for about 5 years now, and I like to talk to educated, fun people as my co-host. We do a news segment for about half hour, 45 minutes at the top. And then I like to bring in interviews with, you know, notable people from the business. You can get a little extra insight that way. You know, that for me, that's a perfect little news show. You get a little punditry. You get a little actual insight from people in the business. So if you like it, which I'm so happy to hear you like it, Bob, it's a lot of fun for me to make. I encourage everyone to go check it out. Wonderful people on there. But with Ray, yeah, you know, I get lucky sometimes. I get to talk to some very big names, very interesting people. Ray was fantastic. I've actually interviewed Ray before in person. He was when he did the Lucha Underground press scrum or whatever at C2E2 here in Chicago. I got to interview Ray, and it's very rare because most of the interviews I do are over the phone. But this was in person, and like Ray, you know, it's like they say that the biggest underdog in all of pro wrestling. He is not that big. He is not a big man. He is small, and he's, you know, done a lot with that size. But interviewing Ray in person, I was like having to, like, because I'm 6 feet tall, so I'm like kind of leaning on a chair.
Yeah.
You know? So it was. But I also had like my, I also was holding my what's it called? My Steadicam, my mobile stabilizer. So I have like one hand in the air, and I'm like holding it up, and my arm kind of went numb because it was like a 15-minute interview.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was weird. It was fun. It was good. But this one was better. Enjoyed it a lot. I'm glad you liked it.
Dude, I loved it. And obviously, like I always say, Ray, one of my all-time favorites. So look at you living the dream. I do have to thank you, though. The MJF interview, just on behalf of all of us journalists, thanks for jumping on that grenade, man. We appreciate it. I kid.
No, it's like, you know, AEW's been so good. They've been kind of trying to spread their talent around for interviews. So most of the major outlets, we get one, maybe two interviews, and you know, I requested it. I was like, MJF, great traffic for us. If somebody has to do it, I'll do it. And you know, yeah, yes, you're right. There I was jumping on the grenade.
That's right. No, it was a totally great one. And guys, please subscribe, follow the Winkley Podcast. Like I said, one of my new favorite podcasts. I wish I was listening to it longer. You guys have been killing it, man. So awesome stuff. You ready to talk a little bit about WWE Stomping Grounds?
Oh, Bob.
Yes.
There is one thing that I want to talk about right now. It is the much hyped, if not like WrestleMania, then bigger than WrestleMania, WWE Stomping Grounds. I am, but, oh, I'm on the hook, buddy. Let's do this.
Oh, man, my sarcasm detector is going off the charts right now. Oh, man.
What are you talking about? Great show. Big show. There's nobody here. Before we get into the previews, I will say, Bob, I think that these types of shows where the expectations are so low, they usually way over-deliver. Like, I'm sure this will be a great show, you know, with all kidding aside.
Beautifully said. No, I totally agree. You know, you look at the card, you see a ton of rematches, man. Like, you know, I almost call this the rematch pay-per-view. You know, kind of at the end this last week, they added a couple matches that I'm excited about. But for the most part, it's rematch, rematch, rematch. Maybe some different results along the way. And again, you got a lot of, like, things. We'll talk about this in a little bit. A lot of guys, a lot of projects, a lot of storylines waiting in the wings here. So we'll talk about that a little bit, man. You ready to go?
Like I said, Bob, I am on bated breath. I'm on a dragon. I am Game of Thrones style, ready to go to war with this preview and prediction for WWE Stomping Grounds.
Dig it. Love the Game of Thrones reference. all right, well, let's do it, guys. And as always, we start with ladies first here on the Bob Culture Podcast. Of course, we are gentlemen. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Of course, we have Little Miss Bliss with one of my personal favorites, Nikki Cross in her corner, versus the SmackDown Women's Champion right now, Bayley. I like the storyline building up to this one. I think it's fresh. I think good promos, especially this week out of both competitors. What do you think about this matchup, Nick, and who do you think's walking out the SmackDown Women's Champion?
Well, this is a fun pairing, right? I don't really know what's been going on with Alexa. It does seem like she's dealt with some out-of-the-ring injury issues here in the past couple months, where it's like they seem to feel comfortable putting her in the ring, and then they seem to just be feeling comfortable putting her in talking segments. So, you know, I think the promo's been pretty good. Alexa's character hasn't heated up enough for me, I think, to warrant a title change here. I think Bayley really just getting going here with this title reign. We don't even really know what to make of Bayley as a champion right now. I'm kind of waiting for the hard heel trigger to get pulled here. It does seem like something's in the wings. So I don't know if it happens here, but for that reason, just because I think we're just on the rise here with Bayley's title run, I think that she's going to retain the title here. Maybe Nikki Cross costs Alexa Bliss the match here, and we see some scolding the next night or something like that.
Wow, man, we're off to a good start here. I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm going to agree with you on this one, Nick. I think, you know, Bayley just recently getting the title. I had someone, Queen, from Queen of NE podcast. She had a perfect prediction when it came to the women's side of Money in the Bank. She had called Bayley winning it, cashing in, all that stuff happening. I think Bayley's going to ride out this title run a little bit longer. You know, there's some injury issues again with Alexa Bliss. Usually guys or girls that are injured, they usually wait a little bit on. Of course, Bliss is one of those talents that could get a title at any time, but I'm going to agree with you, and I think the storyline shifts a little bit towards Bliss and Nikki Cross, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that, too. And how are you feeling about the Bayley character right now? Do you think I'm overstepping to think that we could see some kind of turn here with Bayley in the not-so-distant future?
No, I agree with you. You know, we got that one little teaser, what was it, months ago, where she had turned on Sasha and the crowd went nuts and that fizzled out and nothing came of it. I think, like I said, the promo on Moment of Bliss this week was fantastic. I totally see it, man. It's headed in that direction, man. I'm with you on this one, 100%.
All right.
Good stuff. No, as always, man, really good. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about the New Day, and we got to talk a little bit about Woods and Big E versus so excited to see these guys back in action and tagging up again. Of course, we're talking about Kevin Owens, who's been killing it lately, and the theme song we used earlier from our friends in It Lives at Breeze. Of course, Sami Zayn. Who do you think's taking this one, Nick?
Well, I mean, it does seem like, for whatever reason, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn aren't getting the best of pushes at the moment. They're not winning a lot, so to say, on WWE TV. So I think logic would say that Big E and Xavier Woods are going to win this bout, right? But then this is a show, again, where I expect it could over-deliver, and we may see some matches tie together here, right? Because, like, I don't want to get right to the previewing and predicting for the main event of the cage match and everything, but cage matches are meant to, like, keep people out, right? So I don't know if you try to do an injury angle here on the New Day to try to say, oh, they can't, you know, get into the cage or come to the ringside and, you know, other people attack the cage and, oh, Big E and Xavier aren't here to stop him or I don't really know what, but I feel like Big E and Xavier will win this, but I feel like there could be some shenanigans maybe afterwards or something that tie into the main event somehow.
Brilliant. I'm with you on the tie-ins for sure, man. Really, really, really great. I'm going to go the opposite way. I think KO and Sami Zayn are going to win, but maybe that will result in an injury for the other team. Obviously, we'll talk about the main event in a little bit. So I'll go KO and Sami. I want to see a little bit more momentum out of them. Them teaming up has been great and really exciting. And, you know, we'll talk about the main event in a little bit, but I think things might get shaken up with the New Day in the near future, and we'll talk about that. So I'll go KO and Sami for this one for sure.
Okay, fine. Split card. That's fine. Split it.
That's all right. Yeah. You know, you got to keep it interesting, right? a match I'm super excited about. You know, obviously, you talked to Ray a little bit. I know you guys had touched on the U.S. title situation. Again, what a stellar interview. Really fantastic. So we have Samoa Joe, a guy who I think cuts some of the best promos in the business. Man, he can make a storyline out of anyone, and now he's fighting Ricochet. I'm a big Ricochet fan. I think it was the right call putting Ricochet in this match. I'm actually going to go with Samoa Joe keeping the title on this one. I think it's going to be a stellar match. I think Ricochet is going to hit all these crazy moves like we always see, things you never see in the ring, a lot of innovation. I had just read an article where he had spoken to Chris Jericho, asked for permission to use the Codebreaker, so he's working that into his arsenal. He always pulls out stuff we never see. You have a veteran guy like Samoa Joe. I mean, on paper, the real winners, like we always say here, are the fans. I think Joe slows him down eventually, and Ricochet either taps out or, you know, just doesn't have enough in him to keep competing. So I'm going to go Samoa Joe retains and hopefully has a long, powerful title run. But hopefully down the line, Ricochet does win an Intercontinental or U.S. title. I'll go that way. What are you thinking on this one, Nick?
Well, I think you're probably right with Joe taking this. I mean, you know, even in the interview you referenced with Ray, you know, he was talking about how he plans on coming back to take that title from Joe, right? And that's like kind of straight from the interview there. So I think that they would want to keep the belt on Joe here just so you can get that, you know, that secondary or that come around feud with Ray here when Ray is ready to go again. Because like you said in the interview, right, he could be back end of June, early July, maybe even could get involved in this match somehow, which I don't know why he would have dropped the title then. But if not Ray, I think that's also interesting to think about Dominic, right? Like,
yes.
How does he feel, right? I mean, could Dominic play a factor in this? Could he somehow cost Joe the title here? Or could he help Joe win? You know, he's just another auxiliary character there that I feel like, you know, people aren't thinking about going into a match like this. I do think that it would make the most sense for Joe to win, but maybe there's other stories to be told here. You know, there's a lot of pieces involved with this particular, this kind of story.
I 100% agree, man. Really well said. And, you know, you heard it right from the source. You got Rey Mysterio. I like what you're saying about Dominic coming in. That would be super interesting. You know, so many podcasts we've had, there's been so many interesting theories about how they're going to use Dominic. Is he going to turn on Rey? Is he going to interfere with Samoa Joe stuff? So I'm really excited. You know, like we keep saying, there's so many things waiting in the wings. You know, we have so many rematches on this card. Just to talk about it, and I don't know if you have, you know, kind of some ideas up your sleeves here, but we have guys like Bray Wyatt, you know, or aka The Fiend. I'm excited for that. It looked like they almost did a little bit of a, you know, a callback clip show, Firefly Funhouse, that kind of incorporated all the episodes so far, so they could be ready to pull the trigger on Bray. We have one of my personal favorites, Aleister Black, cutting promos. He's a guy I don't think that's going to get pinned too often. We have some sadder stories, guys like EC3. I've heard some interesting theories about him in the 24/7 title involving Drake Maverick's wedding coming up. There's so much going on. Do you think that they're going to pull the trigger on any of these things on Sunday at the pay-per-view?
I don't know about EC. I mean, EC3 and Drake Maverick getting drunk and pinning each other at Drake Maverick's wedding reception. I mean, it seems like a layup to me. I mean, run with that.
Right?
That's money in the bank.
Yes.
You know, for me, well, I don't know how much you want to run around the board of what could happen with these matches here, but for my money, the theory I've been spinning about Bray Wyatt here for WWE Stomping Ground is that, yes, the Firefly Funhouse segment on Monday night, the latest one, did feel like a bit of a wrap-up, right? You got the montage of all the other segments coming together, layering together, so this kind of felt like at least the final point in this initial series of vignettes. So I would think the next step here is going to be whatever Bray is going to be doing physically in the WWE universe here. For my money, if I had to bring Bray Wyatt back at this show, I would jump to the main event here of Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler in the cage. Kofi picks up the victory over Dolph. I mean, you could do the whole thing with Drew and, you know, whoever, Sammy, Kevin, all the New Day. Everybody gets, I'm trying to get to the cage. They fight each other off. You know, Kofi gets the magnanimous victory there. 1, 2, 3, lights out. As he's celebrating, lights up the Fiend trapped in the cage with Kofi Kingston, destroys Kofi Kingston, lights out, Fiend is gone. New Day struggling to open up the cage door, finally gets in as Bray seemingly has disappeared. And then on the Tuesday afterwards, we get Bray Wyatt, as normal Bray Wyatt, coming out and apologizing for the Fiend attacking Kofi Kingston. And, you know, this is, again, it's like I've brought this up a couple times, and I'm, like, emotionally attached to this idea now, and I hate when I get emotionally attached to, like, ideas, because then they never happen. But I think there's something to that, the cage element here with Kofi and Dolph, where I feel like Dolph, I can't imagine, is the guy they're going to put the title on here, even for a short while. So I think he'll lose. Who gets trapped in that cage with Kofi here? Why is that cage really, really there? That's something I keep going back to and thinking about in regards to Stomping Grounds.
Wow, man, I love exactly, I mean, you should send this into WWE. Anything less than that, I'll be disappointed, because I love what you're saying. Him popping up in that particular spot, then apologizing as, you know, as I call him, the Mr. Rogers, Bray Wyatt sort of thing. That would be brilliant, man. It's so funny, because the day that the Firefly Funhouse debuted on TV, I had actually watched the Mr. Rogers documentary, and I'm sitting there going, like, am I dreaming right now? Is this some weird dream? And it was real, man. But I dig what you're saying, man. That's brilliant, man.
Well, I like that spinning off point, because, like, you know, I feel like Kofi needs a big challenger right now. He's a good champion. Not that Dolph isn't great in his role, but we're having a workhorse main event picture here right now. I want something that's got a little bit more bite. And just the dichotomy of Bray Wyatt, who's, like, into brainwashing kids and, you know, all this dark stuff, and Kofi Kingston, who's really much on the light side of things, also appealing to kids. You have the struggle for kids, trying to teach them this lesson here, while at the same time you're going to get some great in-ring action. I mean, again, I'm emotionally invested in this. I'm going to be sad, Bob, if it doesn't happen, which it probably won't, and then I'm going to be crying on Monday.
I'm going to be sad, too. What you said was brilliant, man. That's some good storytelling right now, and WWE could use a little dose of that. I'm not going to lie.
Call Dewey Foley. Somebody call Dewey.
Yeah.
Where's Dewey?
Let's do it, man. And real quick, before we circle back to the match card, I did want to pick your brain on this. You did mention it on your show a little bit, on the Winkley, of course, talking about that 24/7 title. You know, we all saw Mick Foley bring out that bag. We're all thinking hardcore title. Sure enough, people weren't thrilled with the design or the concept. I think, you know, for what it is, you know, I always hear kind of like that Benny Hill music in my head when they're chasing each other around, bam, 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 da, da, da. But I think it's kind of working, and I think that has a lot to do with R-Truth. So I'm pleasantly surprised. If I don't know if we want to call it like a comedy title or something like that. Our own Anti-Smark, of course, here from the Bob Culture Podcast and the thepopbreak.com, he was the one who initially had said to me early today that he thought EC3 would win the title at Drake's wedding as his best man, you know, pitting him. So, you know, in WWE, they'll use any sort of real life storyline. So that would be interesting. But what do you think about this 24/7 title and the future of it?
Well, you know, you're right. There's been some great moments with it already. You know, it's the new shiny toy in the room. I think it got a lot of attention right out of the gate. Maybe too much attention by the creative team, because I think if there was at one point where R-Truth was like appearing in both main events on Raw and SmackDown, and it was just like, ah, and everyone's like, look, this is working. And it's like, of course it's working. It's getting a push. It's like, you're not used to it. You know, it's like,
right,
you're so not used to seeing a wrestler get a whole bunch of creativity and like momentum put behind them that it's like, when they actually do, you're like, of course this is working. My worry is that it's going to quickly not become the center focus here, right? There's other priorities are going to come up. Vince is going to realize Seth doesn't look as strong, or Becky doesn't lose as strong, or they're losing TV to this wackiness. We got to get back on track. And that's where I wonder if it's going to be able to keep that momentum. You know, you're right. R-Truth is great. I'm sure Drake Maverick will be great in this role. A guy like EC3 could use it. So, you know, I don't know if it'll be able to sustain the momentum it's had. On that note, though, this is a very different time than the Attitude Era. With the technology we have here now, if you can keep a group of guys together that enjoy working with this kind of a title, doing their own kind of autonomous sketches. You give them a little freedom to go out on the road. You know, do your Denny's segment. Go to the museum. Whatever. You know, you trust these guys a little bit to go out there and be creative with it. It's much easier to create that kind of content now and get it out there and let it go viral than it was 20 years ago. So, while, again, it's like I'm skeptical in it now. Can it keep momentum? It's also like a completely different like time period where maybe this idea will work in a way where it didn't work previously or wasn't able to sustain in the 90s because they didn't have the tech for it.
Wow, really, first of all, really well said. And you bring up a good point, man, just thinking about it. Are you thinking a lot of this like social media posting and a lot of these, you know, they're on the golf course or the museum or the Denny's or wherever on the plane. Do you think a lot of this stuff is a little bit more unscripted? Is that, you know, I know that's been a big issue in the company after that Amber, or I should say Moxley interview. Is that kind of what you're thinking about this title a little bit? Like it's more towards that unscripted kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, unscripted, obviously, I don't think they're going to let the boys decide when their title changes are going to happen, right?
Right.
But I think that this will have a looseness to it. You know, I'm even looking at, you know, I think that Drake Maverick's wedding is going on, like, right now, by the way. and the last thing he just posted on his social media was a picture of him and Matt Hardy's son, Wolfgang, saying, you know, buried the hatchet, you know, because they had the feud there at Impact Wrestling.
Impact, yeah.
He's wearing the 24/7 championship. So, I think that, especially with Drake, because, like, yeah, originally it was just him here videotaping me going around handing out these wanted posters. You know, I think it was Hunter on the NXT media call who was like, yeah, we all just thought it was funny, so we just let him keep doing it. You know, they always talk about just going out there, trying to make some noise, break the rules, create a little attention for yourself, and you'll get rewarded. And you know, you hear guys banging their head against the wall, I'm doing that, it's not working. I mean, Drake Maverick is the epitome of a guy who's just like, I'm going to try things. I'm just going to do them. You either are going to not push me at all, which is already happening, or maybe it'll work. And there's certain people that have that kind of ethic. And, you know, I think it's a testament to maybe what they are actually looking for from talent right now, who just largely may seem to just be happy to be a superstar on the road.
Brilliant, man. Really good stuff, man. You're introducing a lot of interesting concepts into my mind already, man. But let's bring it back to the match card a little bit, man, and I'm glad we got that in there, because like I said, you know, we have a lot of rematches on this one. Talking about another rematch. Roman Reigns, you know, as we always say, so happy to see him back and healthy, of course, versus Drew McIntyre. I'm just going to say, you know, I think McIntyre is going to take this one for several reasons. He's had a lot of momentum. He has kind of an unofficial faction with Shane McMahon and Elias, the Revival, whoever else they try to rope in. Sometimes there's a Baron Corbin, there's a Lashley, you know, they kind of do a who's who kind of faction here. So there's a lot of outside factors in this one. Obviously, we saw Shane get the pin over Roman Reigns. I was shocked about that one. And then recently, you know, talking about the verbatim scripts and going off script a little bit and things like that, I don't know if you had seen, I saw an interview with Drew saying how he kind of makes the script his own and it's always been his way. So that's kind of a good diffusion of some other things that have been out there recently. So there's an attaboy for Drew right there. For all those reasons, I got to go Drew McIntyre on this one. What do you think, Nick?
No, I my gut says Drew too. You know, it's weird because they had Shane beat Roman at Super Showdown. I feel like they're trying to build up whatever little New Age Mean Street Posse they've got going on with Drew and the Revival right now with Shane McMahon and the Shrimp Bar. So I feel like Drew, you know, with some shenanigans, like he's not going to beat him clean. I don't think Shane will come out there. The Revival will come out there. He'll get a low blow. Reigns will get pinned. You know, Shane's posse can cheer about it. And yeah, this just puts more heat, I think, on whatever they're trying to do with Roman, wherever they're going with Roman and Drew and Shane. I think this is just going to try to put some fire on it. I think you're right about that.
Dig it, man. Yeah, good to be back on the same page, man. And you may or may not see some Miz action in this one. I kind of like the little Miz-Roman Reigns little tag team thing going on there as well. You know, there's a little bit of a numbers game going on here. So we'll see what happens with that.
It's going to be very disappointing if I never see Miz's dad and Vince share ring space together. Because, look, I wanted Miz and Miz dad versus Shane and Vince. And the fact that it seems like we've missed that window, upsetting. Very upsetting.
Dude, man, you should be emailing these ideas in. I love it, man. I would pay to see that one, man. I dig it.
It's a great idea. It's amazing. Like Vince and George Mizanin, sign me up. That's the network special I want.
I'm in, man. Dig it. Love it. All right, moving right along. Again, another rematch, but we have Becky Lynch. You know, we've always been a very pro-Becky podcast here for a long time versus Lacey Evans. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, man. You know, Becky had her long climb to the top, like I always say on this show. I've been pro-Becky. I've been picking Becky to lose belts in order to win the Royal Rumble. I was there for the ride. I've been picking Becky, Becky, Becky all the way through and after WrestleMania. Now we're kind of on the downslide a little bit. Do I think she's going to lose this title to Lacey Evans on Sunday? I don't. I think she's going to hold on to this title. You know, we have the hashtag Raw Lynch power couple going right now. I think Becky Lynch retains. What do you think about this one, Nick?
I think I'm gonna go against you here. I think that Lacey needs this kind of win. You know, they've pushed her, I think, as hard as you can is the character. You know, they've inserted her there into the main event picture. She seems to be connected. I mean, you see little girls dressed like her in the audience now, right? Like, she seems to be resonating. Sure. I gotta think, in order to try to build her up and keep her credible in that division, a win is not out of the picture here, you know? And then you get the fall from grace story here with Becky, and maybe she, like Seth, just picks up the chair and just goes wild on everybody on Monday night next week. Maybe they tag out. So I'm going to go Lacey on this one.
I like it, man. You know, and like I said, I am a Lacey fan. You know, a huge Becky fan, obviously, for a very, very long time. But I like Lacey Evans. You know, going back to NXT, my personal favorite brand in all of wrestling, big-time Lacey Evans fan. I could see it. Would you think it would be too soon, though?
I mean, what is too soon anymore? I don't know.
True.
It's like they it was too soon to put her in this position, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got it.
Like, if you're gonna rock here, I'll say this: if you're gonna rock it, put a rocket on somebody, strap them right into the main event real quickly. Historically, they've usually put the title on them, right? Jinder Mahal, I felt like they just felt obligated to do it. They're like, we did it so quick, we got to do it, right?
Yeah.
There was another example I was thinking of, and I just brain farted it. But I feel like historically, when they've been put in these situations to quickly create people, oh, Sheamus, that's what I was thinking of, like from a decade
True.
Ago, where he beats that tables match, remember? And
yes.
It was like, whoa, it's like, yeah, well, we're going to force him quickly into the main event picture. We got to make him feel like a credible main eventer, and a title run will help do that. So I think she takes it for those reasons.
Really well said, man. I can't argue with that. Really well said. I'll be happy either way. I might be a little bit disappointed if Becky loses the belt, but I can't complain at all after that epic Becky two belts run.
Sheamus, Jinder Mahal, Lacey Evans. There it is.
You heard it here.
When you put them all side by side, I'm like, actually, yes, they are all kind of the same person. I think so.
Yes, you heard it here first on the Bob Culture Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Love it. Let's talk a little bit cruiserweight action here. We have Tony Nese, who Nunzio actually put over just hours before he won the title at WrestleMania on our show, so that was pretty cool, versus Tozawa and versus Drew Gulak. I'm going to go with Gulak on this one, man. I think he's more than deserving for a long time. I'll be honest, I haven't kept up with everything on 205 Live. I like all these guys, but I'm just going to go, you know, you have that triple threat atmosphere. I got to go with Gulak on this one. Where are you going on this?
Yeah, you know, again, it's like there's only so much wrestling I can watch each week. I wish I could be more invested in the 205 Live division. I think Tony Nese is a great cruiserweight champion, but, you know, that... He's a great wrestler, but that division needs something right now to grab people. And I think that, you know, with the style WWE does, somebody with a bit more personality and character could maybe help shine a spotlight on that. And for that reason, I'll go with you as well. Drew Gulak, what a talent. Very engaging. I think he would do a lot with the Cruiserweight Championship.
Love it, man. 100% agree on that one. I'm interested. I'm going to throw this one to you, Nick. I'm very interested to see where you go with this. We have the SmackDown tag title match that was added very recently. Bryan and Rowan, of course, versus Heavy Machinery. Do you think this is going to be another title change on the card, or do you think Bryan and Rowan retain?
I mean, it's certainly, it feels like it could go either way. My gut says we could see a title change here with Heavy Machinery taking it. I think that they could use a boost. And I also just thought it was very telling that Daniel Bryan was working a singles match on Raw against Seth Rollins this week. And I feel like that's kind of an admittance that there's more value in Daniel Bryan as a single star right now. I don't really know why they've done this experiment of putting Daniel Bryan in the tag team division with Rowan. But I think Daniel Bryan as a single star with big sexy Eric Rowan behind him it's more compelling. I think there's more you can do with him. There's more money matches, and Daniel Bryan is a single star. So I would think Heavy Machinery would have a good shot at this and maybe get back to Daniel, wreaking havoc in the, as a singles competitor.
Wow, really? This is why you are on the show, man. Looking at it from all angles. I dig it, man. Really well said. I'm going to agree with you on this one. This was a head-scratcher for me. We always say here on these prediction shows that Daniel Bryan, since he's come back, seems like he's kind of been quietly putting people over. You have your Mustafa Ali's when it all started. Even when he was champion, he took a lot of pins, not so much in the championship matches, but he would take a lot of pins, obviously putting Kofi over. You wonder why he's teaming with Rowan, maybe to give Rowan a little bit of a push, his partner's out, things like that. I could see him kind of giving Heavy Machinery a little bit of a momentum here, and just kind of quietly we've noticed Daniel Bryan being kind of selfless about that, something in my mind. It could totally just be in my head, but something I noticed there. So for that reason, and then also Heavy Machinery, I've read some things in the past how they've helped kind of stay behind and help set up the ring or take the ring down, kind of going the extra mile. Doesn't hurt to have that backstage presence, good reputation. And I'm a fan. So I'll keep it short and sweet. I'm going to go with you. Heavy Machinery, a little bit of a title change on this one.
Yeah, I think it's a very valid prediction. And if Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan are to retain, I just don't know where you go with them from here. They still just don't feel right for me in the tag division.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I totally get it, man. And, Brian will keep putting on these fantastic matches with whoever he's in the ring with, 100%. All right, getting down to our main events here. Let's talk a little bit about the Universal Championship match. Again, another rematch, but we have Seth Rollins, who's really been carrying Raw for months and months now, versus Baron Corbin, who's been getting a lot of heat. What do you think about this match? Do we have Seth Rollins retain, or is Baron going to upset a lot of people and walk out of there with that Universal title?
Now, this is a special guest referee match, and we still don't know who the special guest referee is.
Exactly.
Right? That's like the whole story here. Who's going to be the guest referee? So I'll just spit the obvious, smoke and mirrors they're trying to, I think, set up here, which is Brock Lesnar going to be the special guest referee?
Ding, ding, ding.
Because you could see the wacky series of dominoes fall where, Brock Lesnar helps Baron Corbin beat Seth Rollins, and then you have Baron Corbin as temporary Universal Champion, only for Brock Lesnar to beat Baron Corbin and then take off with the title. And now you can have Brock Lesnar champion and also Baron Corbin forever claim he is a former Universal Champion as well.
Oh, I kind of, I get it, and I kind of hate it, man, with his TGI Fridays greeter gear, man.
But I feel like that's the red herring they're throwing at. I mean, I think that's what they want you to believe is some kind of version of that, where it's like Seth Rollins has beat everybody down. The one person I don't think he could would be a Brock Lesnar, right? Brock coming out with the briefcase here to referee the match. If not him, then who? Right? Who else does this gimmick pay off where you're going to have a special guest referee for the match that really means anything?
Yeah, it makes so much sense. So what you're saying, you have that guest referee spot. Are you saying Corbin gets the title for a split second, Lesnar cashes in? Is that kind of where you're going with it?
I mean, look, again, I'm just spitting what comes to me and organically. Because there's no way that, I think, happens. And also the scenario I laid out with Fiend and Kofi. Though if both did, again, bar set low, what an incredible show we could have on our hands here right now. I don't know, but if not Brock, then who? That's what I wonder. And if it's not Brock, if it's some, Elias or Sami Zayn or whoever, I think Rollins walks away with this thing. We move on to the next beat. But that guest referee thing, it makes me wonder, who do you pay off with that? Who is it? Is it anybody that means anything? I don't know.
You got me thinking over here, man. Really interesting, man. Kind of looking at it from both ways. Man, I think just part of me just doesn't want Baron Corbin to get that Universal Championship. I'm going to stick with Power Couple hashtag Rollins here. I'm just going to say Seth Rollins hopefully retains. Maybe we see a cash-in. But that Brock Lesnar referee spot makes so much sense, man. Oh, it's tough.
Yeah. I know. And for that reason, I feel like I can't really make a prediction here because there's a variable – right? It's like there's an unknown variable, and like if I knew what that variable was, I could give you a better idea of who I thought could win, but based on whatever that third variable is, I think it's going to decide who walks away with this title.
Love it, man. I dig the insight. I'll go Seth Rollins, final answer, but I guess we'll find out on Sunday, man. We'll see what happens. And then, of course, we got Kofi versus Dolph Ziggler, who kind of came out back out of nowhere, you know, very quiet, wasn't booked on a lot of shows, had a really kind of emotional kind of promo. It should have been me. He's kind of been riding that one. Interesting, a lot of emotion there. Good feud for Kofi. You know, you had a great point about the cage. I feel like you got something up your sleeve here. You had a really good point about the cage. I think this is another win for Kofi to keep him as his champion, at least till SummerSlam, I'll say, through Extreme Rules pay-per-view and all that. I don't see Kofi climbing out of the cage or not the door or anything like that. Probably a really cool spot on the cage. You know, these guys will hit all their spots. Kofi will hit a big, big spot. Maybe off the top of the cage, something crazy, and I think he gets the 1-2-3 to retain and still your WWE champion. Well, what do you think about this one?
I already laid out how I thought this match should go with the Fiend and everything. So if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be a broken, sad, crying, cabaret drinking, vanilla bean, ice cream eating son of a gun.
I got you, man. You think, Bray or the Fiend coming in and interfering, that will kind of play into Ziggler getting the title? Or are you thinking post-match?
Post-match. For me, it would be post-match. I mean, vanquish Ziggler, be done with it. Pin him in the ring or something like that. Lights go out, Dolph's gone, Fiend is there. On to the next beat here for your champion, Kofi Kingston, because I don't think it would make any sense to have Dolph take the title. I don't know who he'd work with. I really think, again, it's like they're trying to make something of this Kofi title run, which I think is very admirable and the right thing to do, especially with the recent trip to Ghana and everything. And so he deserves a very compelling main event storyline, and I just think the current iteration of Bray and the Kofi Kingston, the current iteration of Kofi Kingston, they mesh so well that, again, it's like I will be distraught if it doesn't play out where, like, the Fiend attacks Kofi after the fact and, like, goes after him.
Love it, and what a ending to the show that would be. I see it, man. I think Bray's arguably been the hottest thing in WWE right now, so that would be cool. I dig it, man. That mask is kind of creepy. I think I saw your tweet about something about hiding under the bed or checking under the bed or something like that, man. It's creepy, yeah. Dude.
How is, like, TV PG? Like, I got, when I was a kid, I saw the movie Beetlejuice with the sand slugs that are obviously made of claymation now that I watch as an adult. That gave me nightmares. Well, we're watching right now. This is, what's going on? It's not TV PG, that's for sure.
Dude, I get it, man. I was having a conversation earlier today about Ernest Scared Stupid. That movie creeped me out as a kid, man. So
Ernest Scared Stupid, very scary movie with the trolls.
Right?
And the big the seeds that fall off the tree into the ground and grow more troll monsters. Yes.
You get
I've watched that film recently. I have.
You get it, man. It's awesome, man. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for a few minutes, man. I really appreciate you coming on and looking at everything from all angles. You definitely introduced a lot of great ideas to me, and more importantly, I'm more excited about the pay-per-view right now, man.
Good. Well, like I told you, this show will be as big, if not bigger, than WrestleMania.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Hey, and Nick, in a little shameless promo, we're all about it here on the BCP. Tell us again where everyone can follow you on Twitter, follow your podcast, all that good stuff.
Well, I'm at Wink Rebel over on Twitter. When I say Wink, it's all W-I-N-C. So Wink Rebel, the Winkly, over at Wrestling Inc. Audio on iTunes. WrestlingInc.com, find us there every single day. You mentioned earlier I do commentary for Warrior Wrestling. Fun fact about Rey Mysterio, I actually called his final independent match before he came back to WWE.
Wow.
It was at Warrior Wrestling 2 or 3. It was whatever the War of Attrition match was. He was in the main event. So go check out Warrior Wrestling. Fantastic. Me, MLW's Rich Bikini. We are the commentators for Warrior Wrestling. And it's just a fun product. And I think that's it. I don't have any other projects right now. That's all I got.
You're busy enough, man. And I'm not letting you off the hook just yet. Just a little thank you to you. First of all, thanks for coming on. And secondly, you know, in this world of headlines and misleading clickbait and all that kind of stuff, I do have to say Wrestling Inc. right now is my number one wrestling news source. I think all the stories are really well researched. I don't think it's misleading at all. Not to call anyone out or anything like that, but I see a lot of stuff on the internet that's clickbait or false advertising and stuff like that. And you guys do a fantastic job. In the past, you guys have used some of my stuff. You gave me full credit. You provided links to everything. I had an interview with Summer Rae. So I really appreciate that. I really appreciate journalistic integrity. So just want to say thank you guys so much for that. And again, Nick, thank you so much for coming on, man.
My pleasure, Bob. Always happy to come on and do it. If you ever need me, feel free to give me a call again.
You're the man. All right, Nick, thanks so much, man. We're out. Peace.
Hey, guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout-out to my patrons Jay Crow, Shannon Cruz, and, of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.